Welcome to the 269th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Thank you for listening and tuning in. I hope your week is good. It's hot here in Florida, hot and humid, but I'm still running, and the plant-based striders and bikers are still going right along. We've added a few members to come run with us. We've had several members to the Facebook group, Plant-Based Runners and Striders, so head on over and join us. We've had some beautiful, beautiful posts from people and the places that they're running, so we'd love to have you join in. I have been doing a lot of observing this past week, mainly on social media and in some different sites, but what I've come to recognize, if not in the people that I see in my practice and that I interact with and social media, that it's not easy to feed yourself. And a lot of people didn't really ever feed themselves in a way that they thought about their nutrition. So they got food in, they got calories in. Most people were able to do that, but actually look at their nutrition. And one of the things that led me down this rabbit hole was looking at dog nutrition. And then I started looking at people when they talked about feeding their dog and they were having so much trouble figuring out how to feed their dog. And then I realized that they probably can't feed themselves either. And, you know, again, the average person does not look at the macronutrients, protein, fat, carbohydrate of every meal, the antioxidants, the vitamins and minerals and essential fatty acids, nor should you. But we all live, and people come into my office on a routine basis and say they eat healthy. And of course, you know, in years past, when I did consultative cardiology and people came in and they weren't plant-based, then, you know, they weren't necessarily eating healthy, so to speak, because they have coronary artery disease and vascular disease. So it is a process, and also, I guess, you have to figure out, you know, what is healthy. But I started looking at, you know, if people are very worried about what they feed their dog and if it's completely balanced nutrition. And I started looking at, you know, so what happens if somebody, like a human, which I don't think this is too far off for a lot of people, maybe have Pop-Tart for breakfast, and then they have a bologna and cheese sandwich for lunch. Maybe they have a banana with it. Maybe they have pizza for dinner. And then, you know, they take a vitamin. And they figure, well, they took the vitamins, so they have everything covered. And obviously, to most of you that are seasoned plant-based eaters, and, you know, this is a plant-based wellness podcast, you might realize that this is not a complete dinner by and day for by any stretch of the imagination. And what a bust that has been for the vitamin industry, because, you know, as starting out little kids, Flintstones, one a day vitamins, you know, one a day as an adult, one a day for women, one a day for men. You know, don't worry about what you eat, just take a vitamin. And of course, you know, the supplements come in, it takes these antioxidants, and I'll have people come to the office with a whole bag full of supplements that they purchase. Some are very, very expensive, and they're eating a really crappy diet with that, but they're okay in their heads because they're taking these supplements and everything is covered. And then, of course, if you read, you know, synthetic vitamins and vitamins isolated out of the food are never as good as the real food. Some of them don't even work. Some of them aren't even absorbed, depending on, you know, the context in which they're taken and even what they are in the pill form. So, you know, and people realize this, yet they take the supplements, or they're afraid that if they don't take the supplement, they might be actually missing something. So, you know, we get back to the point where the human body is very resilient and it will last a long time eating poor food before it finally starts to break down. And we don't often associate the breakdown with the poor food choices because there's such a lag between eating the Pop-Tarts, bologna sandwich, and pizza as getting heart disease. If you, you know, get sick, and you ate something and you thought, well, maybe that was contaminated or not really fresh, or it just made me sick, I had a reaction to it. You can put those two things together. It's like, oh, I'm never going to eat that again. But even then, people often will come back to it. But it's different than a chronic disease, you know, from lack of nutrients or an excessive amount of toxins. So one of the things that I looked at, do people know, for instance, you know, how much folate do you take in? How much selenium do you take in? Where's that in your food? How about boron? How about chromium? Because this is the kind of thing that people were stressing over with their dogs, worried that they need to take a supplement because that their dog might not be getting enough selenium. And, you know, where do these things come from? And one of the reasons, you know, for eating plant-based is to eliminate the middleman when humans are eating. And because they get everything from, animals get everything from the plants ultimately. Animals that people consume store the nutrients they got from the plants in their muscle, but mainly in their organs and even in their bones. So it makes people that eat makes eating animals a little bit different, but it's the middleman. So in the era when people were eating animals, you know, I'm going to think that most people listening to this podcast don't eat animals, but back in the day when a lot of you consumed animals, you assume that the vitamins and minerals were in there and you didn't have to worry about it. And that's, you just got vitamins and minerals and protein from, and good fats from eating animal products. And it was all taken care of. But the reality of it is your body has to unpack all those, you know, the muscle and the organs and to get the nutrients out of those so that they can be used and absorbed. So, you know, and there's leftovers. There's leftover cholesterol, leftover saturated fat, leftover heavy metals that you don't want, leftover chemicals that they may have ingested. So they come at a price. But we assume, you know, we feel good about having a piece of meat and a piece of broccoli and a potato on the plate, thinking that that's pretty balanced. When in fact, that animal may have been raised in such an environment. And we know now that animals are raised in feedlots and in factory farms, never see the light of day. They're nutrient deficient. They're high in omega-6s, which are inflammatory polyunsaturated fats. They are high in cholesterol. Our body doesn't need them. So there's so much excess in these animal products. And the further you go down the animal product food chain, whether it's, you know, the milk from the animal and then the things that are made from the milk or the processing of the animals into whatever, the worse it gets. The other thing that happens is when we eat animal products that are high in things like carnitine and choline, which can be used to accelerate muscle growth on one hand, but also accelerate inflammation and increase mTOR, which is associated with accelerated aging, a change in the gut microbiome, again, to generate more of these inflammatory compounds, as opposed to when you're eating a high fiber diet, you're selecting for a microbial population that's much more anti-inflammatory. So should you be worrying about where you get your iodine and your zinc and your vitamin D and your vitamin E and your selenium and your manganese and your chromium and your boron every day? You know, do you need to keep track of this? You know, what about your calcium and phosphorus ratio? When you look at animals, if that ratio is not correct, they can have bone issues. But we also know that people can have bone issues. So they're always a worry, you know, on the vitamin end of things, get your calcium, get your vitamin D. That doesn't talk about, you know, not too many people talk about phosphorus. But is there a ratio that we need to look at? So I kind of looked into some of these things on an average diet and an average junk food diet to kind of get a hand. One thing, you know, if you look at breast milk from the very beginning, there's more calcium than phosphorus. And the ratio is someplace around 1.7. So meaning that calcium is a little bit higher than phosphorus. Humans need at least 1:1 or 1.5:1 calcium to phosphorus ratio. And that really works out. If you look at, you know, from the very beginning of life, human breast milk has it all right, but it does, it is variable, and it doesn't really vary in diet for diet and socioeconomics all that much. When you look into it, it is more about this is, you know, what a particular human can produce based on, you know, perhaps size, or it just a variation. So it doesn't, you know, the body figures out how to make a baby survive. You know, that's one of the things that's ingrained. So if you're a new mother and you're breastfeeding, you don't have to worry about if there's enough calcium or phosphorus in your breast milk, or there's enough protein or carbohydrate. That milk has everything a baby needs to actually double in size in the first year of life. But what happens when babies start to eat and become older? And, you know, so now how do you get it right? How do you get it right as people get older and adults and in age? We know in humans that if they consume a lot of meat and a lot of dairy, they can actually leach more calcium out of their bones because of the acidity that they generate. Calcium has to come from someplace. So if there's not enough in the diet, but the diet is very acidic, then the calcium comes from the bone. We also note that when we add things, vitamins and minerals, such as in cereals and Pop-Tarts and things like that, it might not be in the form. A synthetic vitamin is never in the exact same form as it is in nature. So if you look at the baseline absorption, say for selenium, selenium is needed in the biochemical process of DNA replication and neurons, and so it's a very in muscular contraction. So it's something that's needed. And you're like, well, where do I get it? And your absorption, if you're immunocompromised or you have kidney disease, it might not be as good. But it turns out, if you eat some brown rice, you get 27% of the RDA of selenium. Oatmeal, which we have people eat every day, they get a good 13 micrograms. Bananas even have 3%. Beans are a great source. Spinach is a great source. Mushrooms, enriched bread, few sunflower seeds. But again, you know, people will turn to, you need fish, cheese, and eggs to get some of these things, but really, really you don't. So, you know, we really don't have to wake up in the morning on a plant-based diet and ask, you know, where you're going to get your selenium, and we don't need a slurry poured on our processed food in order to be able to get that. That's one place where the paleo people will come back and say, well, I eat grass-fed, or people will justify their meat eating by eating grass-fed, because factory-farmed animal products tend to be nutrient lacking. It's lacking in the soil. It's lacking in the genetically modified feed that they get. There are heavy metals associated with some of the antibiotics and nutrients that growth promoters, and the way things are, you know, the shots that are given. So there's some heavy metals that you get and you have to worry about. So they say, well, I eat grass-fed. And grass-fed animals, just like animals that roam wild, deer, elk, buffalo, tend to have a little bit more omega-3s than omega-6s. But again, they're also carrying, you know, cholesterol and saturated fat. So you still have that package that you have to break down. What about folate? Prenatal vitamins, we worry about neurotube defects and development of brain. If women don't get enough folate when they're pregnant, so we give them folic acid. Well, folate is very different from folic acid. Synthetic folic acid is tetrahydrofolate, and you have to absorb it. It has to be, and folic acid is more of an oxidized. And, you know, when you hear the word oxidized, that means broken down monoglutamate. So it's not necessarily a good thing, and the absorption is variable. You need folate, for DNA and the metabolism of homocysteine. So people that have high homocysteine levels, we can look to see maybe they're low in folic acid or folate. We also look at the red blood cell because folate as well as iron and B12 are used to make red blood cells. So you can look at the folate concentration of a red cell. A lot of people get their folic acid measured in a blood panel. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't represent the active compound. It doesn't tell you whether it's working or not, whether you have enough. So it's for the most part a worthless test. So if your homocysteine level is good and you're eating green leafy vegetables, then chances are you're doing quite well. Folate is stored in the liver, in the blood, and then in the blood and other organs and tissues. But again, that's where, you know, when animals eat organ meat, that's when they're getting their folate, if they're a carnivore. But, you know, we plant-based people, again, green leafy foods, beans, grains, a few nuts, get plenty of folic acid, Brussels sprouts, asparagus, very high, and spinach very high in folate. So again, eat some greens, you're going to be okay. If you eat a Pop-Tart, a cheeseburger, a white bread, a banana, and a glass of milk, however, your Pop-Tart's not going to have much in the way of folic acid. Your cheeseburger may have 12 micrograms, your white bread 50, your milk 12, and your banana 24. So you'll have a folic acid intake for the day of about 98. If you're over 19 years of age, you need 400. If you're 1 to 3 years of age, you need 150. So you can see where you can be folate deficient if you are a young person eating junk food. And again, that's where prenatal vitamins came in, because, you know, we have all these young women that are eating a crappy diet and they get pregnant and they're not getting enough folic acid. So we'll give it to them. But again, we're not giving them necessarily enough, or it's not absorbed well enough. So go back, get your greens, get your beans, get your grains, and you're going to be okay. If you were to eat a half a cup of spinach at 131 micrograms of folate, white rice 90, romaine lettuce 64, a slice of white bread 50, easy peasy, you get 235 micrograms of your folate, and that would be maybe, you know, part of a lunch. So again, eating plant-based, you can kind of get away with not having to worry about all these things if you're just eating a colorful, well rounded diet. I heard this week people talking about protein absorption, and plant protein might not be as good as animal protein because it's not a complete protein. And that comes up very often, you know, what is a complete protein? A complete protein has the amino acid percentage profile like skeletal muscle. That's all it means. But every food has all these 9 essential amino acids, just not in the same percentages. And as far as absorption goes, plant protein is absorbed, you know, beans, the amino acids in beans or the protein in beans are broken down. The amino acids are absorbed just as easy as they are for meat, and maybe even better, especially when you have a robust microbiome in your colon from eating very high fiber foods. But there's always, you know, something out there that will suggest, there's actually a magazine called the Beef Magazine, and they quoted a study saying that vegetarians, they're not lovers of life. They're kind of depressed, and it's probably because they're not absorbing the protein correctly. And then there's this concept of umami, which is the taste of breaking down protein. And so people talk that the taste of breaking down beef protein or pork protein is what makes people have, you know, what makes foods comfort foods. I would argue that it's what makes, you know, the memories of the food you ingest as opposed to a specific taste. I mean, it's certainly, if you taste a hamburger versus you taste a bowl of beans, it tastes different. But I don't think that it is the actual, you know, sense of breaking down the slightly different percentages of protein that causes the difference. If that were so, then you could say that eating quinoa and steak would be similar because quinoa is a complete protein and you would have the same amino acid profile if you were breaking that down. So I would beg to differ and say that, you know, a lot of that comes from the charring or the association when someone is eating animal protein. And in fact, in the Journal of Kidney Disease, there was a study, and there have been multiple studies, but this particular study, 14,866 patients, looking if people would just increase the ratio of plant protein to total protein, every time they increased it by 33%, they had a decrease in death rate from chronic kidney disease. And we know that if you switch to complete plant protein, you can decrease and reverse kidney disease. And lower the protein in your diet, specifically when you go to plant protein. It typically, a plant-based diet is going to be more around what's normal in protein to intake, about 10% of the calories, as opposed to someplace 30, 40% on an animal-based diet. So again, don't fret on the kind of protein that you're taking in as far as your ability to absorb it, because you break down those amino acids and your body assimilates those amino acids however they need to for that day. And you don't have to have all 9 essential amino acids every meal. And if you go back to the Pop-Tart pizza, you know, menu, certainly I didn't look at the amino acid in a Pop-Tart, but I would guess it's not a complete protein. And again, people do pretty good for a long time eating a cheeseburger and a Pop-Tart and a piece of pizza until they get their diabetes and heart disease. On the other hand, you might worry a little bit about, you know, lead and mercury. So if you're going to have a tuna fish sandwich, don't eat lead paint. You know, we worry about children and lead paint and everything and the toxicities, but we don't worry about that. There is so much mercury in a can of tuna that, kids get what they would get in several vaccinations. The other thing that's important in eating is the enzymes that we use to break down the food. Enzymes are proteins or amino acids that help us digest and help us absorb the food. And one of the reasons why animals, carnivores, do well with raw meat is because the raw meat still has the enzymes. When you cook the meat in order to kill the bacteria so it won't kill humans, you eliminate those enzymes. It's now a dead food. On the other hand, when you're eating raw fruits and vegetables, those enzymes are fully alive. So I really like to recommend that people eat a lot of raw foods in the form of fruit and raw vegetables every day. So, you know, that big giant salad with the cucumbers and tomatoes and, you know, avocado. Today I had kale, cucumbers, tomato, spinach, half an avocado in my salad. Last night, you know, I pretty much have kale or spinach every day, you know, some dark green leafy vegetable, raw cucumbers, raw tomatoes, and then again, my fruit, so that you're getting these enzymes. Because if you don't have the enzymes to break down the food, then your body has to make enzymes. So if your body's always repairing itself, always making enzymes to digest food, always working, then you can see how after a while your body exhausts its ability to make enough enzymes to take care of yourself and to clear the toxins and to clear everything that it has to, and then you get into trouble. And that's when aging starts. So the more raw foods than you can eat, the more available enzymes that you have to digest your food. There are a few nutrients, lycopene is one of the examples, heavier, and there's more availability in cooked tomatoes. But you know, a combination food, I think, is really great. A lot of times when people do raw diets, they start to make things way too complicated and try to make something out of nothing by using a lot of nuts and seeds, and you can make that a very, very high-fat diet. So use your raw foods in the form of fresh, raw vegetables, and try to get some every day. The other alternative would be, you know, if you're eating your, Cinnamon Crunch or Captain Crunch cereal, you're not getting any enzymes in that for your breakfast. But if you make your own granola, so any granola in the grocery store is going to have a tremendous amount of oil and sugar usually. But you can make your own granola, very easy. by soaking oats. You can add a few nuts and sunflower seeds if you like, and grind those all up. Add your fruit in there. Use the, you know, grind an apple or applesauce to make the, you know, make it liquidy, and then spread that out and dehydrate it at about 105 degrees or the lowest temperature on your oven. Some people just turn the oven on, bring it up, then turn it off and let it sit. Overnight, you can make a nice granola that way that actually has the enzymes activated. So if you take nuts, and again, I we don't want people eating a lot of nuts because most nuts have more omega-6s than omega-3s. Walnuts have more omega-3s than omega-6s. But if you soak nuts and seeds, and especially sunflower seeds high in zinc, you know, everybody wants zinc these days in the COVID, but sunflower seeds, some pumpkin seeds high in zinc. If you soak those and then you dry those, dehydrate those, you actually, by soaking, you activate the enzyme. But by dehydrating at a lower temperature, you know, the 105 or less, then you don't kill those enzymes. So again, they're better digested and they taste good. So you can do a little sunflower or pumpkin seed and put a little cinnamon, nutmeg on there and dehydrate them, and they make a nice topping for your cereal. The next thing people talk about are smoothies, and you know, that's the big craze. Can I have smoothie? But people tend to use them as a meal substitute, but it doesn't really keep you full. And then they start adding things like protein powders and nut butters and coconut milk, and it becomes you know, more of a fruit milkshake with extra calories in it. If you need extra nutrients, you're sick and you can't get them in, green smoothies are great. If you need more calories, you know, adding some fruit to that, you can get it in. If you're new to vegetables and you're trying to get them into your diet, then that is a place for training your taste buds. So kale and blueberries and bananas, a way to get kids to start to like kale without them really knowing it. So you blend those together with water. You can add a couple dates and then back off on the sweetness, you know, just to get people used to less sugary things. But you have to remember that most of the time when you do smoothies, you're going to do something that has a lot more calories. So use it for what it's worth. It's going to be either to hydrate or to add extra calories or to add extra nutrients if you can't chew them. It's always better to chew if you can. When we look back at antioxidants in foods, you know, people think, you know, an apple that keeps the doctor away, has vitamin C. Well, the vitamin C is, you know, about 30% of the antioxidants in an apple. The reality of it is, if you eat an apple in the skin, you can bump up the antioxidants by 83%. And it's, you know, it's much more than vitamin C. So, you know, make sure that you're getting a variety and eating the whole foods. You're going to do much better than worrying about each antioxidant that you may not be getting enough of. Another food that I kind of looked up, hamburger helper. You know, that's another thing that people that can't feed themselves turn to. When I've talked to people and asked them what they ate in a previous lifestyle, it'll be, you know, spaghetti and meat sauce, or hamburgers, cheeseburgers, and french fries, or pizza. But if people are cooking, they might, you know, go back on shake and bake chicken or hamburger helper. So I looked at the ingredients of hamburger helper, and to my dismay, or I guess what I would expect, you know, there's macaroni in there, but then there's cornstarch, flour, sugar, modified whey, which is, you know, the remnants of casein protein. So when they take the protein out of milk, the whey is left, which is a bit of a protein. They had dried tomato, dried cheese, dried onion, palm oil, citric acid, vegetable oil, yeast extract, garlic, annatto extract, which for color, that is from a plant, the annatto tree seeds, pepper, Limburger cheese, monoglyceride, sodium phosphate, non-fat milk, silicone dioxide. If you ate a third of that without the hamburger, it's 110 calories, 3 grams of protein, less than 1 gram of fiber, and 590 milligrams of salt, 1 gram of fat. The most important part is there's no calcium in that. So people think they get calcium from cheese. Obviously, there's not much cheese in the cheese, dried cheese, or the Limburger cheese, because there's zero calcium, only 0.4 milligrams of iron, No other nutrients in this. And then, of course, they suggest you add a pound of ground beef, a cup of milk, and some water to fully make it. So people would think that Hamburger Helper would be a good dinner to have because there's macaroni, there's the red appearance of tomatoes, and this is just, you know, basically hamburger with sugar, oil, and, you know, a little colorings on it, and essentially no nutrients. So if this were your dinner and you had a Pop-Tart for breakfast, 1 gram of fiber, and your cheeseburger at lunch, maybe 2 grams of fiber, if you had french fries with it, and this, now you're, you know, 3 or 4 grams of fiber. You need about 50 to 70 grams of fiber to really be healthy and get your gut microbes. So you see your gut microbes are really taking a beating if you do Hamburger Helper or ever have. And that would include Tuna Helper and all the different varieties. On the other hand, if you were to have an Indian dish and that Indian dish had saffron in it, you would actually be getting enough of the chemicals in antioxidants in saffron to be a mood enhancer equal to Prozac. And there have been several studies, and there was a review by Lopresti et al. That looked at saffron versus antidepressants in multiple different studies, and they had the same effect. So you can eat a diet that is rich in antioxidants and real colors from real food, and even have, you know, improve your mood and feed your good gut microbes, or you can have Hamburger Helper. So what do you do? You know, somebody asked me today, they're just starting their journey, and they said, I wouldn't even know what to eat for lunch. Well, let me give you a hint on what to eat for lunch. Let's start with breakfast. Big bowl of fruit, tablespoon of chia seeds. Chia seeds are going to give you about 5 grams of protein. You know, so if you do a tablespoon and a half plus 3 or 4 different fruits, you're 10, 12, 13 grams of protein, plenty of carbohydrates. You got the folate, beta carotene, vitamin C, antioxidants, fiber, great breakfast. You can add some oatmeal to it if you like, get some more grains, get some selenium, you can add some sunflower seeds, get some zinc. But you could do it just simple and have 4 or 5 different kinds of fruit and chia seeds and be really, really healthy. Lunchtime, again, let's get that raw salad in of sorts, but you know, you can eat iceberg lettuce. It has some nutrients as long as you eat the whole head. You can get iron in iceberg lettuce as well as iron, but you have to eat the whole head. So if you don't have time to eat the whole head of iceberg lettuce as well as the whole cucumber and peppers, then go to something a little bit heavier and green. So go to some spinach. If you're practicing kale, make sure you take the stem out because that's going to be too crunchy for you to eat up front. And save that for your dogs because it's really good antioxidants for your dogs as well, the kale sticks or kale bones as we call them. But take that kale and chop it up really, really fine and put lemon juice on it and massage that lemon juice in and then maybe a little bit of avocado. And it'll be much more tender to eat for those people just practicing kale. And that lemon or lime juice is going to add extra vitamin C and even a little bit of fiber into your diet, as well as other anti-cancer properties from the lemon juice. So that's good. You're going to add the cucumbers, tomatoes, peppers, again, more beta carotene, more iron. With all those, perhaps a grain. Today I had leftover corn from my dinner last night. I had leftover stuffing from my portobello stuffed mushroom that had kale, tomatoes, celery, and garlic. I had some of that as well, heated up, and lima beans with that. So that was, you know, my salad today, or my lunch with a salad today. Sometimes I'll do a sweet potato on that kale that I told you about. So a sweet potato plus kale and cucumber and tomatoes. I like using a fig vinegar or some sort of garlic heavy balsamic vinegar. Again, I already have the lemon juice from what I massage, lemon or lime juice, so that and a little vinegar really goes good together. You can step it up and do a baked potato with, again, some, you know, quickly steamed kale or salsa on top of that. Makes it really easy for lunch. But try to get that raw salad in at lunch. And you know, I'm talking, you know, 4 or 5 cups of salad all total. It's one of the giant, you know, giant bowls that I ate my salad in. At dinner, look at your plate. Beans, greens, and a grain, and another vegetable. So pick a green, you know, again, asparagus, cauliflower, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, collard, Swiss chard, add a grain, rice, barley, quinoa. Quinoa is really a seed, but it works. You know, a frika, add another vegetable, zucchini, carrots, onions, eggplant, and add a bean, white beans, you know, pinto beans, black beans, great northern beans, and, you know, have your salad again if you want. And it's an easy dinner. You don't have, doesn't have to be complicated. Just remember greens, veggies, you know, greens, a vegetable, grains, and beans. And keep it simple in the beginning. Don't try to complicate things with fancy hard sauces or things that take a long time. Just get the staples. If you have beans in your house and you have grains in your house, then you're halfway home for dinner. When you go shopping, get greens. So you have those every week. You have the vegetables that you like raw, cucumbers, carrots, celery. You know, if you have those things on hand, you can make a whole variety. I always have mushrooms on hand. They work in a variety of different dishes, and cabbages. Head of cabbage lasts a long time. Head of purple cabbage lasts a long time. So keep those things on hand, and you can come up with something in very short notice and not have to worry about your individual nutrients. We're still running. The Treasure Coast Marathon in March 1st is not open for registration yet, but I'm still hoping it's going to go. We're planning on taking a group over there, so, you know, hop on over and check it out. Check out the Facebook group, Plant-Based Striders and Riders. Come say hi. Go over to drdelaney.com, drdelaney.com, and check out the website if you want to be part of our practice with a registered dietitian, myself, wellness challenges, a big members only website. We'd love to have you. We do Zoom yoga. We do Zoom nutrition classes as well for people that don't live in town. So we'd love to have you as part of our practice. You want to get off your medications and you want to get healthy. If you want to learn how to challenge your friends when they ask you those crazy questions about where do you get your calcium and where you get your protein, that's where you're going to go. Come see us. It's not easy. You know, it's like learning a new language. You have to give yourself a break. But you have to, you know, when you're learning to feed yourself, just stick with the basics. Look at your plate. Make sure it's good color. And if it's good color and you've got some beans, you got some grains, you got your greens and another veggie, you're going to be good to go. Get your fruit in. And enjoy what you eat. Sit down with a plate. Make it look good. And be thankful for what you have, and thankful, and know where the food came from so that you can identify it. If it came from a box, you can't identify it. I hope this helped you get started. I hope you have a great week. Go out and get your move on. Get some vitamin D out from the sun. Don't worry about counting every little thing. It'll be all right. Have a good week.